This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Visit with Alabama center Landon Dickerson. All right, Landon, there's so many different directions that we could go and so many different things that we want to talk to you about, but I heard you referenced multiple times as the leader of this football team, not the O-line, not the offense, but the leader of the team. And when you got to Alabama, that was not the case. You came in a situation where you didn't have a spot. You weren't a guy that was selected out of high school to come be the next guy at a certain position. And the way that your maturity changed over the course of you arriving in Tuscaloosa until you finished your last game in the national championship game against Ohio State was a big reason why. Do you have a moment when that began to shift, when that started to change, when you thought that you were going to be able to accept that role and be one of those guys on this Alabama football team?
So I think, Cole, when I first got here, obviously Alabama has a great tradition of bringing in guys that are not only great athletes but great leaders. So when I first got here, it was kind of almost, you know, a learning experience for me. So I came in and I wanted to learn, you know, what was the dynamic of this team? Who were the leaders? Who were the guys speaking up, being vocal? Who were the guys that got respect on this team? And so for the first kind of few months I was here, it wasn't about coming in and establishing, you know, who I was and coming in and trying to, you know, take roles from people and all that kind of stuff. I mean, When I first came in here, I was really thankful to be here because, you know, Coach Saban gave me an opportunity to come here and continue my career and grow as an athlete and as a person. And so coming in, my first goal was, you know, just being appreciative of where I was, and the whole team, they welcomed me and they really embraced me from the get-go. Like, I was one of their own, that I've been here the whole time. And, you know, I really appreciated that. And I think over the course of my career here, it was never about being that guy that was going to be at, you know, the front of the line or, you know, the guy that was always talking. I really came here and I wanted to earn the respect of the guys around me and then really just work on developing the sense of family. I mean, we're a team here, but I think the thing that set us apart this year was this was truly a family. And I mean, I mean that quite literally. I would do everything for these guys, and I think they would say the same for me. I love each and every one of them, and I respect the hell out of all of them. And just being able to have that relationship with these guys and just knowing that, you know, I trust them with my life, and hopefully they trust me with theirs, that really set us apart. And I think that's what kind of helped us grow overall. I'm appreciative that people have referred to me as a leader of this team, but I don't think that's necessarily true. All the upperclassmen, really this entire team is full of great leaders, and we wouldn't have been here without everybody on this team, and especially the older guys, the seniors, the guys on that leadership group. Because, you know, at the beginning of the year, you know, we told ourselves what we wanted to do. And it took everybody in that room, it took everybody on this team to accomplish those goals.
Well, let's talk about that brotherhood, because I got a feeling because of that brotherhood, that motivated you greatly to at least get out on the field one more time with your brothers in the national championship game.
That was really what it was all about. And, I mean, with my knee injury and stuff, I won't go into specifics of exactly what happened. I'm sure everybody has their assumptions. And, you know, usually, you know, it wasn't about, I don't want to say it was about me. It was about just being out with the team one more time. And I'll admit it was a little selfish on my end, because I did want to be out there dressed up, going through pregame warm up, talking with my guys just one last time, because this was a special team, and just being able to be a part of that and be around those guys for that moment in that game was just, I mean, it's almost like a Disney movie. And it's just one of those things that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
All right, but take us back through how this happens, because we actually talked to Lyle Kane earlier in the week, and he said, listen, there was no way he was going to play. We had established that. He also kind of peeled back the curtain a little bit on how you were sort of politicking to play not only in victory formation, but actually during the regular portions of the game 2 weeks off of an ACL reconstruction. Did you have to, like, kind of go to the equipment manager and say, hey man, fill my bag and put it in there. Don't tell anybody, but I'm gonna actually dress up and warm out and warm up a little bit. Or was Saban cool with that? Did he know that you were at least gonna go do that? You gotta take us through how this actually happened.
So I'll kind of take you through, the day after I had obviously ACL surgery, I gave my crutches back and I told myself, I was like, you know, I've butted heads with the medical staff, Dr. Kane and Jeff Allen and all these guys here that, and I understand that and I respect them because they want what's best for me. But I told them, I mean, I think going into the Rose Bowl, I told them, I was like, you know, I can play. And of course they never believed me. So, you know, during the course of, you know, practices during the week leading up to both the Rose Bowl and National Championship, obviously I go out to practice and, you know, I had to show them that I was capable of moving, whether it's doing some center quarterback exchange stuff, running around a little bit. And obviously that freaks them out a lot because they obviously they want to protect me and I appreciate that. But at the same time, leading up to the National Championship game, obviously we went down a few days early and, I went ahead and I packed my travel bag with everything, just kind of like everybody else did. And so it was already down there. And the day before the game, I went and talked to Coach Saban, and I asked him if I could dress for the game. And I knew I already had all my stuff down there. And he said he didn't have any issues with me dressing. So as soon as I kind of got through that hurdle, I was like, you know, now that I'm dressed, I might as well go out and do pre-game warm-ups and, you know, snap with the quarterbacks, run around a little bit, and see how far I can go till Dr. Kane probably, you know, blows his head off with frustration.
And, Landon Dickerson. Go ahead.
Once we got into the game, you know, Kane told me, he was like, if we're up, you know, however many scores, and I thought, in my mind, I knew he gave me a pretty unreal. I think he said something like if we're up by like four touchdowns, I'll let you go in. And I think in his mind, he thought that would never happen. And I tried to get him to let me go in and do, you know, 4 minutes towards the end of the game and, you know, where we're just running the ball. And, he didn't really go for that. But, he did agree that if we got to the point where we went to victory, he would go, talk to Coach Saban about it. And what actually ended up happening was that 3rd and 9, I got a little, not really scared, but I was like, okay, we're going to punt the ball here, so I don't have to worry about going to talk to Coach. And B-Rob just, you know, ran that thing, got the first down, and damn, I got excited. And I jumped the gun. I ran up to Coach. I was like, I didn't even ask, really. I just said, hey, Coach, I'm going in and take these final snaps. And he just said, all right, go ahead. And I ran in there and took the last couple snaps, and that's the end of it.
Talented offensive lineman Landon Dickerson joining us here on 3-Man Front on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. So, obviously, our own Cole Kublik, who we work with every day, he also chairs the Joe Moore Award that's awarded to the nation's top offensive line. You guys were awarded. He actually did the presentation video, like a Zoom or a video call. Now, we've seen Cole in past years get pretty passionate, pretty fired up during these presentations. There is a rumor out there that he might have dropped an F-bomb or two. Can you confirm or deny this, Landon?
I won't confirm or deny this, but I will say it's got to take a heck of a lot for an Auburn guy to really support an Alabama team. I mean, they must think you're a sellout down there, but...
You have no idea.
Yeah.
Definitely amazing presentation with that award. And, you know, it was just, I mean, this offensive line especially, just a special group of guys. I mean, we were extremely close. And I think we really just had a mindset and a mentality to go out there, and we just wanted to make people quit. It wasn't about a scoreboard or anything. And that was our mentality the whole year. I mean, if we went out there and made that front seven not want to play us and wish they never played football again, we're going to be happy no matter what the scoreboard said. But every time it ended up in our favor.
Former Alabama center Landon Dickerson joining us. on the Michelob Ultra, Michelob Ultra Organic Gold Hotline, which, by the way, I hope that that phrase that I just stated is accurate, because if it's not, we may both be in a little bit of trouble, but I'm assuming that it is moving forward. I said that one thing about you being out there in warm-ups that, that a lot of people may not have realized is that you took some of the attention away from the scene, the atmosphere, how big the game was, the moment was. Because we saw videos of you kind of smiling with guys and patting guys on the helmet in the rear end and walking around, and I'm assuming that when people saw you, they kind of didn't expect it, and it was a welcome sight. But I would like to hear from you how seeing Jalen Waddle kind of do some of the same things and then actually be active for the game changed the mentality and the attitude and maybe just put a little extra something in everybody's step for that football team as you were getting out there warming up, getting ready to go against Ohio State.
Absolutely. And I think a big thing in the locker room before the game, seeing Jalen, a lot of the guys on team, seeing Jalen Waddle get dressed up in full pads, and kind of the same thing for me, walking around, getting warmed up in the locker room. I mean, that I think it was really just – I think – I'm trying to find words for this. I think it just kind of – showed these guys that, you know, we came here as a team and we were going to finish as a team, and that's what really it was all about. It wasn't anything to do with, you know, we wanted publicity for something or anything like that. It was purely just, you know, we're one team and we wanted to finish what we started, and I think that really just it showed guys, like, you know, what this team was really about, and that, you know, we were all in. I know this year's been full of people, you know, have opted out for COVID. I have nothing but respect for those people, because they're concerned about their health of their family, friends, and everybody else. And, you know, you have guys that declare for the draft early and all kinds of stuff. And I think this team was just special in the sense that, you know, it didn't matter that, you know, Jalen Waddle was one of the best athletes in the country. I mean, he was going to dress and he wanted to be with his teammates, even though, you know, he was coming off a surgery really quick. It's just amazing kind of what we wanted to do, just to be a part of this family just one more time.
Well, Landon, it's been an emotional week, and of course with that emotion, you know, comes some changes, and your position coach Kyle Flood announced that he will be moving on to Texas. How emotional was that for maybe some of the younger guys, because obviously, you know, you're going to be moving on, but how emotional was that with having your coach that helped you win the Joe Moore Award move on to another pasture?
I'm extremely happy for Coach Flood. He's an amazing, not only a coach, but an amazing man. He's helped this offensive line and this team so much. Just, you know, he's always been there coaching us, teaching us, and loving us, really. And, I mean, what he accomplished here, to have a Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line, an Outland-winning trophy winner, a Remington winner, all two unanimous All-Americans. I mean, I don't think – and I may be wrong, but I don't think any other offensive line coach in the country can say that right now, to have that in one year. So for him to have the opportunity to go to Texas and be an offensive coordinator, I'm extremely happy for him. I know he's going to do great things, and I'm only appreciative of what he's done. And for the young guys on the team, you know, I'm going to talk to them. You know, it's something that you kind of have to get used to here at Alabama, is, you know, coaches come and go, and that's kind of how it's been here. And I think these young guys, that they're in the best situation they can be in, because Coach Saban's, he's going to find the best guy in the country to come in here and coach these guys. And so for them, I'm excited for their future, because, you know, the young guys of this team and this new class that just came in, it's full of great guys. I've talked to them, great athletes. And this is going to be a special group next year, too.
All right, so speaking of best situation that you could be in, I don't know if you've had time to allow this to sink in yet or even thought about it in this context, but let's pretend like that. What is it, a 2012 Dodge Ram with the railroad tie bumper? Is that the year that it is?
I got a 2003 Ford
F-250. Okay, sorry. Oh, and we even put a picture of it up in the Kentucky game, and I had the make and model wrong. It's GMC Sierra is what we would suggest from Royal Buick GMC, but that's okay. Let's say you hop in that thing this afternoon, and it turns into sort of the DeLorean from Back to the Future. You're able to fast forward 20 years from now. and you're sitting around with your kids, or even go further than that, and your kids and your grandkids, and you're going to have to describe what 2020 was, and the fact that you almost weren't going to have a season, the fact that you guys weren't allowed to have a spring practice, you weren't allowed to really get together in your weight room the way that you were used to. You weren't allowed to gather as a team the way that you were used to. Your coach missed a game because he came down with COVID. Then you go out and set every offensive record known to man, seemingly blow out the majority of the teams that you play. You win an SEC championship. You win a national championship. How would you even begin to describe what this season was?
I don't know if there's even words for it. I mean, the things we did, I mean, I don't know if they'll ever be done again. Playing a all SEC schedule. I mean, we played 11 SEC teams out of 14, and we're one of them. So, I mean, there was only two left, and we probably could fit those in somewhere. But I don't even know how to think about it and describe it. It's one of those things that I'll be surprised if it ever happens again. And for me to just say that I was a part of this thing and be on this championship team is just, I mean, I'm speechless trying to really think about how to describe it. I mean, it's just an amazing feat that we were able to accomplish it.
You were a big part of it. We enjoyed watching you play. I enjoyed watching you play. It was a lot of fun. We wish you the best. I'm kind of assuming that being a professional football player is next, and I hope we didn't get in the way of something that is going to upset some people in the media relations department moving ahead here in the next few hours. But we thank you so much for the time today. You got a bright future ahead of you. We would love to visit with you again sometime. And nothing but the best for you moving forward, Landon. Thank you so much for what you did on the field this year and for everything that you've provided for us today. I know our listeners enjoyed it.
Thanks, Landon.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys.
That's Landon Dickerson, Alabama center, former, I guess, Alabama center. I didn't really consider that part of it before I booked him on the show today, knowing that the press conference was right after our show today. I'm not trying to get people excited, but I just that wasn't a part of the discussion.
It's so, what they get for scheduling at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll send a gift basket.
Hey, sorry.
To our friend there in media relations.
He joined us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.